Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Thank you, church. You can go ahead and take your seats. So good to see you this morning. And it's a great honor to be here and to be speaking the Word of God this morning at Energizer Church. I love this church. I love your pastors, Pastor David and Alex. You know, I've got the opportunity now to speak all over the nation, all over Australia and internationally. I've had the opportunity to speak internationally a few times this year. But before anyone was inviting me to speak and before anyone knew who I was, Pastor David and Alex took a chance on me. They said, come and speak at our youth camp, then got me back for their women's conference. And they really pulled out the gold and the potential of God on my life. And I'm so thankful to these guys for what they've done in my life and my ministry. Can we give them a massive round of applause? I love these guys so much, and from the bottom of my heart, honestly, I'm so thankful for you guys and what you've done in my life. And I believe that that just goes for the whole church. I can see them drawing the gold out of people in this place. I see in the young people over the youth camp over the last couple of days, we've just had an incredible time. Where are our youth at? Give us a wave, give us a yell. It's so good to see you guys. God just moved in such a powerful way, and I think that that's just such a testament to Pastor David and Alex as well, as they just draw the gold out of people and they believe in people. They're patient with people. They are awesome pastors. Can we give our pastors a hand here in this church? They are amazing. And I'm so excited about what God is doing in the area of the building for your church. We've just moved into a new building for our church. We've got a few other campuses, and it has been crazy to see what God has done in the last 12 months. But as I was praying about your church and about you guys moving into a new building, I believe that God was saying to me, this isn't just a good idea, it is a God idea. I believe that God is moving. I believe that it's a new season. I believe that God is going to build a new foundation for a new generation of what God wants to do here in Hobart and here in this church. And I just felt God just drop a couple of scriptures in my heart for those for that move. And I felt like the first one was Genesis 12, where it speaks of Abraham, and Hebrews speaks of Abraham going out from his father's house, not knowing where he was going, just stepping out in faith, and God met him in that place of faith. I believe that God's going to meet this church in your place of faith as you step out, maybe not knowing all of the details, maybe not knowing all of the direction. I believe that God is going to lead and guide. And also in Matthew, it says a city on a hill cannot be shaken, cannot be hidden. And I believe that God is going to position this church in a place where it cannot be hidden. And it's going to impact the city, the nation, and the nations of the world for the glory of Jesus. So can we give God some praise for that this morning? Awesome. It's so good to be here in Hobart, Tasmania. Everyone's here in Hobart this weekend. We have the Prime Minister ScoMo is in Hobart this weekend. I just missed him at the Salamanca Market. So I was devastated. I wanted to catch up with him over a large sausage and a Viking ice cream, some of the largest sausages I've ever seen in my life at the Salamanca Market. But it wasn't to be. He had other places to go. That's fine. We'll catch up next time. Also, we've got some of my good friends. We actually went to Israel together, Michael and Julie Weeks, and also Doctors Carolyn and Bob Batchelder. Have I said that right? Yes, awesome. These guys in the middle there, they were our tour leaders for Alpha Crucis. We went to Israel together. We spent almost 3 weeks together, and they're just fantastic. And I love you guys, and so, such an honor to have you here this morning as well. Can we just give them a round of applause for visiting today? And also wanted to thank my Hobart family for hosting me, Warren and Kathy. Aren't they just the best? We love these guys. They are like my Hobart parents, and I arrive in Hobart and they just give me all the goss on what's going on at Energizer Church. So I already know what's happening in all of your lives, and it's very cool. I'm excited to be here, and really it is definitely like family, and I love this church. I love what God is doing here, and I believe that God has more for this church. I believe that God wants to do something incredible in this place this morning. So I want to read from the passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. If you've got your Bible, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Some of the young people love the Word of God. Isn't that awesome? So good. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand firm. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Church, can we just bow together in prayer before we unpackage this word this morning? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it is not a natural word, but it's a supernatural word. Lord God, I know that my words and my opinions, God, can only change a little, but God, your word spoken under the authority of the Holy Spirit in this place this morning, Lord God, can change, can shift things in our lives. God, we ask that you would speak your word into every heart, into every life this morning. And God, we ask that you would meet us in this place in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Awesome. My message this morning, church, is called Standing Room Only. Standing Room Only. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, Standing Room Only. It's Standing Room Only. Turn to the person on your other side and say, You are looking good today. You're looking good today. If it's appropriate, you can give them a kiss. If it's not appropriate, maybe give them a slap. Standing room only, standing room only. I wonder if you had a life motto, what would it be? What would it be? I'm not organized enough to have a life motto. I'm not quite sure what my life motto would be, probably something out of the Word of God. But if you had a life motto, what would it be? Some people have life mottos. I think someone like Grant Mullen would be someone who would have 10 life mottos. He's the type of, you know, guy who I think would do that. Does anyone have a life motto here in this place? No, a few people, yes, awesome. Our service producer, fantastic. Life mottos. Well, I was thinking about this idea of a life motto, and I was thinking about some of the people in the Bible. What would their life motto be? I think if Moses had a life motto, he had a stutter, so I think it would go something like, let my people go. Oh, that's a cringy joke, isn't it? I think if Noah had a life motto, it would be, I told you so, I told you so. I think if Adam had a life motto, it might be, don't ever listen to women. I'm a woman, so I can say that. But life mottos, do you have a life motto? I don't really have a life motto, but I have some dumb life mottos, some life mottos that I live according to. I like making my life more efficient. And one of those might be, why stand when you can sit? Why stand when you can sit? Does anybody just enjoy sitting down? Don't want to stand for too long. I don't like standing. I don't want to stand. Why stand when you can sit? And it's horrible when I, as a very small person, I'm wearing heels this morning, but as a very small person, when I go on trains or public transport, it is it's horrible news when you walk into the train or you walk into the bus and it's standing room only. And you're standing there and you're sort of flailing about and you're flying through the train. You're superwoman. And it's crazy. When it's standing room only, it's not that good. I think the Americans have it right when they have their sort of mobile scooters in Walmart, and instead of walking around like peasants, they just roll around like the kings and queens that they are. They roll around, they sit. Why stand when you can sit? We're familiar with this term, standing room only. Standing room only. When you go to concerts, when you go to certain venues, particular places, we know what it means when it says standing room only. It means when you go into these places and you enter into this space, there is no room for you to sit down. You have to stand. In this space, it's standing room only. You can only stand. And you know what? Throughout the Bible tells us that there are lots of places where we can rest. The Bible tells us that in Psalms that God makes us lie down in green pastures. He makes us lie down. So if you want to just take a sleep and lie down this morning, you say, the Bible told me to do so. You know, I'm just going to take a sleep this morning. He makes us lie down. The Bible tells us that we enter into the rest that God has for us. But in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us about a particular place in our lives, about a particular area in our spiritual journey that is standing room only. It tells us when it comes to the strategies and the wiles of the enemy, when it comes to the things that the enemy is trying to do to take us out, this place of our Christian life, this place of our Christian journey requires us to stand. This area of our lives is standing room only. So I want to talk this morning very briefly about what it means to stand against the wiles of the enemy, what it means to wrestle against the enemy, to stand against and to wrestle against the enemy. Sometimes we can think that just because we're in the same fight with this enemy, just because God has said in the word that we're in the same ring, it means that we have the same power. I don't know about you, but I don't really like watching the Olympics. Anybody else get bored in the Olympics? I don't love the Olympics. I'm not a very sporty person. And so when the Olympics comes on, I'm sitting there wishing that instead of getting all of the best people in the world together, they just got all of the worst people. Like if it was all the worst people competing, I could watch that. Like someone who's like so terrible at javelin that they accidentally like poke someone in the eye with a stick or something. Like that would be entertaining to watch for me. But you know, when it comes to the Olympics, just because people are in the same race or in the same pool or in the same venue, it doesn't mean that they have the same ability. You know, I don't know if you've seen some of the swimmers from small countries or some of the people from places where they don't have pools or they don't have the equipment that they need, like the Americans or the Australians or different countries like that. They get into the ring and they're nowhere near as good as the people who have had the equipment, they've had the training. Do you know what? I want to tell you this morning, church, that just because we are in the same fight with the enemy, just because we're in this wrestling match, doesn't mean that we have the same power. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, He disarmed, talking of Jesus, He disarmed the rulers and authority and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Colossians tells us that Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were His. They were His. So we're in this spiritual battle. We're in this war with the enemy, with his strategies in our lives, in our families' lives, maybe in our health, maybe in our finances. We are in this war where the enemy, the Bible tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the enemy comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but Jesus has come that we may have life and life more abundantly. We're in this spiritual war. And often we hear messages about putting on the armor of God, and they're incredible. And I love messages about putting on the armor of God, but I want to take a little bit of a different angle this morning on this passage of scripture. I just want to stay in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, where it starts with the fundamental thing we need when it comes to standing against the enemy and wrestling against the enemy in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, now, my beloved ones, I have saved the most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in and through you. Church, I believe this morning that if we are to stand against the enemy and if we are to wrestle against the enemy, then we need to know what it is first to stand with Christ, to stand in an intimate relationship with Him, to stand in Him and everything that He's purchased for us on the cross, and also to wrestle with Him. When we wrestle with God, I believe that we can wrestle against anything that the enemy tries to do in our lives. When we wrestle with God and we let everything that he is and all of his word and all of his power come and overtake everything that is inside of us, everything that is contradictory to his word, when we let him wrestle with everything inside of us, we are able to stand and to wrestle against the power of the enemy in our lives. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 35 says, he trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You know what, church? There is no fight that we are in right now. There is no challenge, no battle that we are facing that the Lord has not prepared us for and that we cannot stand in with his power and strength to overcome. You know, I'm a 29-year-old girl. I don't wrestle children. I don't make it a habit of wrestling children. That would be strange. I might get reported to some sort of authorities if I started wrestling with other people's children. I don't wrestle with other people's children, but I see parents wrestling with their kids. And maybe you wrestle with your kids and you wrestle with them. You know, when I've asked parents why they're wrestling with their kids, I've never heard a parent who's wrestling with their kids say, oh, I'm just trying to break his leg. We'd be like, okay, we're going to report you, like you're crazy. I'm just trying to break his leg. No, when a parent wrestles with their kids, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get close to them. They're trying to show them that they love them. They're trying to strengthen them. They're trying to empower them. They're trying to build courage in them. And in the same way, I believe that when God wrestles with us, I believe that he wants to get close to us. He wants to get intimate with us. He wants everything that we are to come into contact with everything that he is. He wants to wrestle with us to make us strong, to make us bold, to make us confident, and to equip us to wrestle against the things of the enemy in our lives. What happens when we wrestle with God? I want to share about wrestling with God this morning. And hello to all of our lovely people out there in the Derwent Valley campus this morning. We love you guys. I think in the first service that I ever preached here at Energizer Church, it was the very first service that they were streaming live to Derwent Valley. And we love you guys. And I just believe that God has a great plan and a great purpose for that campus. I believe that God is going to do something very special out there today. I want to look this morning at what happens when we wrestle with God. What happens when we wrestle with God? Obviously, we have a passage of scripture that we might all be familiar with in Genesis chapter 32 that talks about Jacob wrestling with God. And this morning, I believe that when we look at this passage of scripture and we see what it means to wrestle with God, I believe that God wants to unlock this key in our lives, that when we wrestle with God and when we're close to God and when we let God change and transform us, we can actually wrestle against anything that the enemy is trying to do in our lives. We can be strong, we can be bold, we can be courageous, and we can take the land and the promise that God has for our lives. So Genesis chapter 32 and verse 22, if you got your Bible with you this morning, why don't you turn there with me? It says this, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants and his 11 sons, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go until you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? And Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. And Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. We see in this passage of scripture that Jacob wrestles with God. And I want to look this morning at what God does in Jacob's life through this wrestle. How many know it takes two to wrestle? If I was trying to wrestle with myself up here, you'd be like, what the heck is she doing? That's crazy. That looks weird. We can't wrestle ourselves, but we can wrestle someone else. It takes two to wrestle. And so in this wrestling match, I want to see what did God do in this wrestle and what did Jacob do in this wrestle, to see what God does in our lives when we wrestle with him. When we wrestle with him, we see in this passage of scripture that Jacob's greatest fear had come upon him. He had been living quite a blessed life, and God had been doing some things in his life, but we see that he was always on the run from his brother Esau. He had stolen his birthright. He had stolen from his brother, and he was on the run. I've definitely upset my younger and brother, my younger siblings at times, but I've never done something so bad that they wanted to kill me. I don't know if you have a sibling in this room that just wants to kill you, but the situation that Jacob was in had escalated so much that his brother wanted to kill him. His brother wanted to kill him. And so Jacob's greatest fear had come upon him. His greatest anxiety had come upon him. I don't know what you're facing in this place this morning, but I know that every single one of us can go through fears and anxieties and challenges that we feel are coming towards us at 100 miles an hour, and we don't know what we're going to do about them. It's like we can't turn to the right or to the left. They're on a one-way collision course with our lives, and we're thinking, God, what am I going to do? Jacob was in this place. He was thinking, God, what am I going to do? His greatest fear had come upon him. The Bible says he sends everybody away. He sends everybody away, his family and all of his possessions, and he makes room to meet with God. He makes room to meet with God. My very first point of what happens when we wrestle with God is the first thing that we can do is we can make room to meet with God. Jacob made room for God, and we see that God encountered Jacob. Jacob made room for God, and God encountered Jacob. I know what you're going through this morning, but I know that if we make room for God, if we make room for God in the midst of our challenge, in the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of our pressures, if we make room to meet with God in his word, in prayer, in faith, I believe that God will encounter us. He'll speak to us. And I'll change our lives. Do you know what? Maybe not so much here in Tasmania. I don't know. We can chat afterwards. You can educate me if this is something that happens here. But I know over in Singapore, when I was in Singapore this year, sometimes to get to eat in a certain place, in a certain restaurant, because there's so many people and the food culture is so amazing and they all love their food, sometimes you can be standing outside a restaurant to wait to go in and to eat that food for up to 2 or 3 hours. People will literally, on Father's Day, on Mother's Day, on special occasions, people will be sitting outside or standing outside restaurants for hours to try and get in because the food is so good. And you know what, church? I believe that God is always waiting to get into our lives. God is always waiting to get into the room that we can make for him. God is always waiting for us to make some space for him in our lives to come and meet with us. I want to encourage every single one of us this morning to make room for God so he can come and he can encounter us this morning. Let's make room. The second thing that Jacob did was he held on to God. He held on to God and God equipped him. He held on to God and God equipped him. As we hold on to God, I believe that God will always equip us. He'll always bless us. As we hold on to him, I believe that we will always see his goodness. We will always see his provision. We will always see him show up. Maybe not necessarily in the way that we thought he would, but he will always come and change us. He will always come and equip us. Psalm chapter 68 verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits." Now, I don't know if you're like me, and you often forget to attach the attachments to an email that you're sending. I always forget to send attachments and I'll be like, hey, here's the details or here's the itinerary. And I'll send them to people and they'll go, yeah, thanks. There's no attachment. There's no attachment. The thing that you said you were going to do, the thing that you said you were going to send, it didn't come with the email. I want to encourage you, young person, and I want to encourage you, church, this morning. God always sends his attachments with his word. When his word gives us a promise, when his word declares something over our lives, it always comes with an attachment. It always comes with provision. It always comes with his blessing. It always comes with his promise. We can declare the word of God over our lives and know that his attachments are coming into our lives. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. You know, I'm from an ethnic background. My father is Persian and my mother is Irish. And so all throughout our childhood, we would go to different people's houses and we'd have people from all over the world come and meet with us and just be with us. And I just remember as a kid, always when I'd go to other houses, people would just load up our plates with food. And I'm quite little, so I didn't eat that much. And they would be like, what are you doing? Have more chicken, more rice, more food. You know, if you're from an ethnic family, you probably know what I'm talking about. More, more, more. Do you know what? God is like that old Italian mama. God always wants to do more. He wants to build something more in our lives, more character, more grace. He wants to pour out more blessing in our lives. He wants to bless us to be a blessing. God always has more for us if we would just hold on to him and trust his word. Hold on to his word and trust him. Jacob held on to God. And God equipped him. The third and final thing that Jacob did was he surrendered to God and God changed him. He surrendered to God and God changed him. In verse 28, we see that Jacob receives a name change from God. He receives a name change from God. God says, no longer will you be called this, but you'll be called this. And you know what? When we get in the presence of God, when we make room for God, when we hold on to God, I believe that in our lives we receive changes that we couldn't make on our own. See, Jacob couldn't change his own identity. He had to get everything that he had by striving. He had to get everything that he had in his own strength and his own ability. But when you come into contact with the living God, when you wrestle with God, when you get intimate with God, I believe that we can receive things from heaven that we could never achieve on our own. We can receive things from God that we could never do on our own. Jacob surrendered to God. He humbled himself before God and God changed him. God changed him. Maybe if the band could join me. There's three things that we can do and three things that God does when we wrestle with him. We make room for God and God encounters us. We hold on to God and God equips us. And finally, we surrender to God and God changes us. When we stand with God, we can stand against the enemy. When we stand with God, we can stand against the enemy. When we wrestle with God, we can wrestle against the enemy. You know, the very end of this passage of scripture, so interesting. We see that somewhere along the way in this passage of scripture, we know that it opens and it says Jacob was wrestling with a man or with an angel or something like that. And at the end of this passage of scripture, we see that Jacob recognizes that he has seen God face to face in this encounter. But he has been encountering God himself. And he's stunned and he's changed and he's like, God, I can't believe what you've done in my life. We see somewhere along the way that it says that as Jacob was wrestling with this angel, or as Jacob was wrestling with God, that this being, God or this angel, could not overcome him. It couldn't overcome him. That's very strange. We think, hey, does God not have enough power to defeat a man? Of course he does. So then why couldn't he overcome him? Why was Jacob so strong? There was something in Jacob that just wouldn't break. There was something in Jacob that just wouldn't budge. He needed to get what he wanted from God. And so what does God do? He touches his hip. He breaks something on the inside of him. He breaks something in Jacob so that instead of Jacob being dependent on himself and being dependent on his own logical way of doing things and being dependent on his way of just striving to get what he wants, he breaks his hip. He does something. He takes it out of joint. He takes it out of the socket so that no longer will Jacob be dependent on himself, But in this wrestling match, in this wrestling encounter, Jacob could learn to be dependent on God and God alone. He could know that he could trust God with his life. He could trust God with his future. He could trust God to move in his life if he would simply depend on him and not on his own. And you know what we see happen? The Bible says that when he left this place, as he was going off and called it Peniel and walks off, the Bible says that Jacob had a limp. There was something different about the way that he stood. There was something different about the way that he was standing after he wrestled with God. Something different about the way that he was standing that the Bible says doesn't just affect his life, but the Bible says Israelites from generation to generation to generation, they would look back at what happened to Jacob. They would recognize what God did in that wrestling match. They would recognize this change, this shift that came, this change in Jacob's life, this blessing, this dependency on God and not himself, this shift that came in his life, and they would not eat of the meat that came from the hip. Generation after generation after generation was changed and impacted and influenced because of the way that Jacob would stand after he wrestled with God. Do you know what, church? I believe that the Bible teaches us that when we stand with God, when we wrestle with God, we can stand against the enemy. We can wrestle against the enemy. I believe that when we get close to God, when we get intimate with God, when we let him change us, when we let him encounter us, all of a sudden we stand in such a way that won't only change our life, it will impact generations to come after us. It'll impact our families. It'll impact our city. It'll impact our nations. It will impact the nations of the world, because when we stand in who God has called us to be, when we stand after being intimate with Jesus, when we stand after encountering his power, we can stand in such a way that the enemy can never tear us apart, never take us down. We stand differently. We stand differently. Church, if we could stand this morning, I would love to pray for people in this place. When Jacob came into contact with God, when Jacob came, as he describes it, face to face with God, we see that the things in his life that needed to change, changed. The things that needed to be shifted were shifted. Because you can't encounter God and leave the same way that you came. Something needs to change. Something needs to shift. Do you know what? All throughout the New Testament, we see that as people encountered Jesus, as people came and they encountered Jesus and they came in faith, we see that people who came needing healing left healed. People who came broken left restored. People who came needing provision and they didn't have enough to eat left with the provision that Jesus had for them, with supernatural, miraculous provision. We see that people who came bound by demonic things in their life left free. Why? Because when you touch Jesus, when you encounter Jesus, something changes in your life. Something is shifted in your life. Church, this morning we need to encounter Jesus and him alone. We need to encounter Jesus in this place. I don't know about you, but you might have something in your life this morning that needs to come and touch Jesus. Say, God, I need healing in this place. God, I need freedom. God, I need breakthrough in a particular area of my life. God, I need provision. God, this challenge that I'm facing, I need to know that you're with me. I need to know your strategy. God, I need your wisdom in this. I don't know what thing in your life needs to come into contact with the presence of Jesus, but I would love to pray for you this morning. I would love to pray for you this morning. I'd love to pray with you and the prayer team down the front here this morning. You know, I was just preaching last weekend in Bendigo, and after the service, I preached a message, and after the service, a father came up to me and he said, Layla, I would love it if you could come and pray for my son. And I was like, yeah, no worries. And we go over and we're praying for this son. And I see that the son has crutches and he can't walk properly. And he's got juvenile arthritis in his knees. And I don't know about you, but when you see such an overwhelming problem like that, sometimes you can get a bit intimidated and you're like, okay, headaches we could have done, like a head cold, like that would have been right. But, you know, juvenile arthritis and this kid can't walk properly, I'm not sure. And so we prayed for him. We laid hands on this little boy's knee. I was like, God, can you heal him? God, we believe in your healing power. God, we believe that you're going to move in his life. God, touch him. We rebuke anything that the enemy is trying to do in his life. This young boy would be on painkillers every single day. His parents told me he couldn't walk unassisted without the crutches. Painkillers every single day because he would wake up with pain that was absolutely at a 10. And he was just this little boy who was just so taken over by this horrible arthritis all throughout his body. Sometimes his parents told me that because of the pain, he couldn't get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and he'd wet himself and just had these horrible challenges. And I was like, awesome, let's pray. God, please do something in his life. God, please do something for his family. And we sort of left and asked him, do you feel any change in your knee? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, no worries. And so we left and I felt on the way out, I felt God say, pray for him again. And I was like, I don't have an opportunity to pray for him again. And then the parents came and they said, we're coming on youth camp. We're doing the catering. I was like, awesome. We've got a few opportunities to pray for this young boy. Well, over that youth camp, we found that as we prayed for him, he would get up the next morning on Sunday morning. He got up on Sunday morning, did not need painkillers. His pain had gone from a 10 to a 1. He had been on painkillers every single day, woke up that morning and didn't need painkillers. The next day he woke up, didn't need painkillers. His parents have told me they believe that he's been completely healed by the power of God. Can we give God some praise in this place this morning? What Jesus can do far more than we can ever think or imagine. Sometimes we think, oh, God can only do so much, but God can actually do anything. God is so much bigger than we know. He's so much bigger than we believe. He's so much bigger than any challenge that we're facing this morning. And if there's something in your life that needs to come into contact with the presence and the power of Jesus, then I just want to invite you, just for the next few moments as we sing this song, just to come down the front. We would love to pray and minister to you and believe God with you that that thing is going to change, that thing is going to shift. God is going to move in the midst of your circumstance and situation this morning. Church, can we just lift up our hands to God as we just worship and pray?